Book of Matthew. I must warn you today, if you don't have your Bible with you, you are in the wrong service. You need your Bible. Now, I'll forgive you. If you don't have your Bible with you, you can share with somebody beside you. And unfortunately, if that person doesn't have the Bible with them, I'm not sure what you can now do. But please feel free to share, because we're going to read a lot of scriptures today. Matthew chapter 6. And I read from verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, King James Version, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Chapter 7 from verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh he shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would, when men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Psalm 102, verse 13. Psalm 102, verse 13. We'll read it together. Well, I will read it. And I read, Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. Father, we thank you for the set time. We thank you for the time of favor. Lord, we open ourselves for your favor. Whatever you need to do to make favor our clothing, to make favor envelop us, Lord, do it speedily in the name of Jesus. Lord, we say enough is enough of labor. What we now seek from you, O God, is the favor that only you can give. Lord, today you will deliver unto us a route to enter into your favor in the name of Jesus. We give you praise. We give you thanks in Jesus' mighty name. August is it's a very wonderful month. It is neither here or there. It is not half the year. And it's not the beginning of the second part of the year. It is just a bit after, let's say, part two, if you know what I mean. Half a year ends in June. The second part of the year starts in July. But August, just placed there. But I've come to realize that God has a way of preparing his people. And somehow, every year in August, we have a conference. We have a conference that is held many times by Reverend George Adeboye. Many times. And I was just thinking about it, because every time God wants to do something, and many times, unfortunately, some of us do not see it. I personally believe that God has allowed us to go for the first 6 months And now that July, you are able to make an assessment of what you have achieved in the first 6 months. Many of us haven't done that, but I'm just saying generally. First 6 months has gone, so you now know you're in the second half of the year. July, you've been able to see where did I go wrong, or what did I do, or what didn't I do. And I believe that August is a time where God wants to empower us so that we can complete the year the way we ought to. Because the Bible says that this year is our year of supernatural, well, not the Bible. A prophecy has come forth that this is our year of what? Supernatural exploits. And I believe that that is when God speaks. Bible says in Isaiah that his word does not drop to the ground. It will not come back to him void. It is impossible. It will surely accomplish that which he has sent it to. That means God saying that this is your year of supernatural exploit. Believe me, you, it is your year of supernatural exploit. I was listening to a message by Pastor Shola, which he preached sometime last year about November. And I believe the name of the message was, so I don't say the wrong thing, Prospering in Your Famine. And I realized that in that particular message, he said some things that were key. He said people are talking about credit crunch and they don't know how to solve it and things like that. I think he preached in October or November last year. And that he believes that things are going to get worse. He said it, that he believes that things are going to get worse. And I began to look at it that, yes, for many, things are getting worse without there being a tumult. When it started and they were laying a lot of people off, everybody knew because it was in the news. But now it's no longer that much in the news because it has become common knowledge. A lot of people being laid off, a lot of families, no jobs and things like that. And I remember in November when I heard that message, it said, oh, you think 2008 is bad? Wait till 2009 comes. And for me, I rejected it. You can appreciate. But you see, it wasn't a prophecy he was speaking. You see, he was like looking into a looking glass and knowing something that's going to happen. You just need to readjust yourself to get ready. It's like if you're a sailor and you see a storm coming, you don't reject it. You don't say, I reject it. I command you, go back in the name of... No, you begin to probably pull down your sails, put down your mask so that the storm will not break it. All of you will run for cover. You go into this place and you cover, and then you just begin to steer the ship, hoping that the storm will soon pass away, but you prepare. And I believe that that message was kind of meant for us to prepare, because the message was titled Prospering in Famine, Part 1 and 2. Now, it just occurred to me, all the scriptures I've read, I'm sure many people will think I'm going to talk about prayer. Some will think I'm going to talk about forgiveness. Some will think I'm going to talk about favor. Some will think I confuse you all with that scripture. Because I want you to listen to me and only me. And you see, I've read that scripture and I realized one thing. That if we know that thing, we will succeed. We will prosper. We will thrive. And it was littered along those pages. I'm sure some of us will have noticed it, but we may not have noticed it that much. Let us go back to Matthew. And I'll then give you the title of my message. Matthew. Are we there? Matthew chapter 6. Forgive me, I'm just trying to lay the foundation, but I'm just going to jump right into it. Matthew chapter 6. You know, he talked about from verse 5. He said, when thou prayest, thou shalt blah, blah, blah. Verse 6 says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy father. Verse 7. But when you pray, let's jump that. Verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your father knoweth what things you have need of. I've already given you the secret. The title of my message today is Our Father. Our Father. I read these scriptures and I saw it was littered with asking, skills for prayer, roots for intercession, how to ask and receive. Go inside the closet, close yourself in for 7 days, and things like that. And then verse 7 chapter 7 and verse 8 sealed it for me. It says, you that are evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children. You need to understand that the Almighty God, the maker of heaven and earth, He is God. He is the I am that I am. He's the one that when He speaks, fire comes out from His nostrils. He's the one that, He said He made the heavens His throne and the earth His footstool. He is that big. He's the one that took Joseph from the prison and made him a prime minister in one day. He's the God that can do anything. He's the one that can raise up the dead. Lazarus was dead for 3 days. God said via Jesus that he is just resting. Bring him out. He said, but he stinketh. He said, no. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing can be impossible. In those days, many knew God as God, the Lord Almighty. But Jesus was walking on a different level. He always knew God as his Father. And because he knew God as his Father, he operated in the supernatural naturally. You see, it is difficult for somebody that does not see me as their father, and I'm talking about my children now. If my son offends me, as he has done so many times, there was a day he took a stone and scratched my car. And I was like, what? I said, sorry, daddy. You're going to get smacked. Sorry, daddy, I didn't mean to. I'm like, you didn't mean to. Even though he did that kind of damage and the scratch is still there, what can I do? I still pay his school fees. I still put food on his table. He still sleeps in the house. Why? I am his father. I can scream and shout and spank him, but what? I am his father. If somebody else does that to my car, for God will have mercy on both of us. But the key is this. Jesus didn't have any problem. When Jesus, I'm just jumping into it. There's no, you know, system and stuff. God has laid a burden on my heart, and I just want to share as easy as possible. When Jesus was sleeping in the boat, and the storms was coming, and the ship wanted to capsize, the Bible says all the disciples were scared. And they were running health and skelter. And they went to Jesus and they went to wake him up and said, carest not that we perish. And he just looked at them and said, oh, you of little faith. And he got up, went out, and rebuked the storm. I personally believe that the only reason why he rebuked the storm was to keep them calm so that they're not too fearful. He didn't need to. Because the storm could do nothing. If the storm could, Jesus would have rebuked it before he got into the boat. Because when the devil was going to sift Peter, he said, Simon, the devil has asked to sift you, and I have prayed for you before it happened. So Jesus, sleeping in that boat, knew that the only reason he stood up to calm the storm was for the disciples, not for him. The storm could do him nothing. That is why he was sleeping. The Bible says that you should rest in the Lord. You see, when you know, I personally believe, I've heard a lot of a great many men of God. And I also do this when I pray. I begin to call on the constellations of heaven to align so that the 5 stars in heaven plus the 7 days can overshadow and all the angels can begin to align on the left and align on the right so that the demons that want to pass, they just shed them to pieces with their sword. And I've heard some men, some great men of God, all they do is say, daddy, I thank you, like Gio, our Gio, General Overseer. I always wondered for many years, why does he say, daddy? Daddy, we thank you today. And I realized that there is a revelation that man knows that I don't have a clue about. For me, God is still God Almighty. For him, God is daddy, yet is the Almighty. If you understand that God is the Almighty, no matter how things get bad, the Bible says it is the same God that delights in the prosperity of his people. Now, will God let you go hungry, go naked on the street? Not your father. Maybe God can do that, but not your daddy. I will never in a million years, even if to punish my son, tell him to walk on the street naked. Never in a million years. That is what the Bible says in Matthew 7. It said, you being evil, you still know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more me? We have messed about with who our God is, and God is pained. That is why many times we are downcast, we are despondent, we are hopeless, not hopeless, like they use it, not useless. I mean hopeless, no hope. Please, I do not insult you. You need to get that right. We don't have hope. We don't have hope. We have cast away our great confidence, which has its recompense of reward. Why? Because we do not see our Father. You don't have a job as long as God puts food on your table. My son doesn't need to work for me to put food on his table. The day he needs to work, I might still ask him to go out. If he doesn't get a job, food will still appear because I know he tried. Making 400 applications and getting no doesn't mean God is not on your side. You are trying, and God will make sure your needs are met. Because my son, go and get a job. I'm telling you, let's use natural things to understand supernatural things. I tell my son, you are now 21. You are no longer going to live in this house. I want you to go and buy a house. I say, okay, daddy, no problem. He goes and gets a job. He works. He saves up maybe 20,000. But they say the house he has to buy is 100,000. And he needs another 20,000 deposit. And he comes, daddy, I've worked. This is 20,000, but I need 40, and I need the house. I'm like, no, I said go and work. He said, it's going to take 10 years to work. But you said I should move out of your house. I can grumble if I have it, which I will do. I will just give it to him. I say, okay, go. Yeah, go. I say, thank you, daddy. If somebody else come and ask me, I'll say, where from? Is there a mistake? Have you done DNA test? I am making it natural so you can understand that the secret of your success in your understanding of who you are dealing with, God is the Lord of heaven, the captain of the host of heaven, the one that will speak and the whole earth will shake. The one that when they were praising and he just stood up, the whole prison for Paul and Silas, what happened? He began to shake. And the prison doors just opened. Paul and Silas, when they were beating them, they didn't say, God, why? They said, daddy, there must be a reason. I'm sure. Because they knew that, God, daddy, you sent me here. You don't like me to be punished like that. I won't say, have you heard this saying? I will translate it in English. I can't say it in Yoruba, which is my native tongue, but I'll say the translation in English, and those of you that understand my native tongue will understand what I'm saying. Help me beat my child. I don't know how to translate it. It does not, they say, it does, okay, thank you. Help me to beat my child very well. It doesn't come from the very heart of the parents. They might say it, what did he do? Your son was very naughty today. Or your daughter was very naughty today. Really? Did you smack them? Did you beat them? No, I was waiting for you. You should have beat them. It's a lie. It's a lie. If anybody tells your daughter of, no matter how close they are to you, you might not say anything. They'll say, just call your daughter or your son. Come. Why did you do that? Just come. Just take your thing. Because you are the one that knows what you suffered on that child. And you are the one that knows how much you love the child. When they are naughty and you spank them, you pull them close and you say, don't do that anyway. Give daddy a hug. But somebody else says, you. They say, I told you to help me discipline them. Doesn't mean you turn into an angry dog. I mean, bring my child. That is exactly the way God is. That he allows you to go through a situation. Doesn't mean he wants the devil to now destroy your whole life. He wouldn't allow. That's why he told Job and the Satan. He said, if you touch his life, you're in trouble. He said, you think he likes you, he's serving you for nothing? Say, leave that one. Okay, you want to prove us. And you see, by the way, I tell people, I am not Job. So if God boasts and devil say, let me try, God will say, Rotimi is different. Don't try. Don't try. Whether he loves me or not, leave that between me and him. Said Job said it will cause, I don't know about you, some people read Job and say it goes through trouble. You see, you know, we need to stand. God knows. Bible said that he knows the limits we can take. And he knows me well. So there's no need, why would I, if you, everybody is different. Some people are caused, let me tell you, I'm gisting, but I hope you understand. If you look at athletes, for somebody that carries 20 pounds, 50 pounds, what they call this, the strongest man in UK, how does their chest look? It's big. What kind of exercise they carry? They carry all those big pollens and they go, he falls down. They place their hand, they carry, they eat, they do exercise, they don't run. But if you want to talk about football, like Beckham, does it carry weight? It just, you know, stamina, carries, you know, tosses football, heads it, chests it, you know, and he makes 160 million. And then, oh, well, we'll go to the gym every day. And they'll just give him 500,000. So I tell people, the exercise you do for where you're going to is different from my own. My own exercise in life doesn't need that terrible kind of temptation. Your children will die. Your fish will die. Your cattle will die. Fire will come. Somebody will raid. This will destroy. I said, Job and me, we're on different planets. We are totally different planets. Stop comparing me and Job. We cannot be compared. Rotimi is Rotimi. Job is Job. The only commonality is the O. Everything is different. God is my Father. And that is why when something is hurting me in my body, there's no job, there's no money, I just go and meet Daddy and say, Daddy, if it blows up, alarm will blow. They will now drop me on the street. They say, how did it happen? God, alarm will blow. And God will begin to speak to you, begin to tell you some things. That is what they call you and God having a relationship. The secret of success does not go beyond your understanding of God as your Father. That is why Jesus was trying to tell the Jews, our Father. Say, you put yourself on the same level as God. He said, But the Bible says, unto them that the word of God has come, ye are gods. And God has made you. What does the Bible say in Genesis chapter 1? It says what? Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. I am like God. So God will not throw me out because I am his child. That is why you cannot be hopeless. You cannot lose your hope. Why? Because God is your Father. Now, I need to ask you a question. Why are you afraid? If the bank account is dry, does God need bank account to take care of you? No. If the mortgage hasn't been paid, does that mean they will throw you out? Maybe, maybe not. The reason why I say maybe, maybe not, because I'm not God. You need to find out from God. But I'm telling you that you do not need to be concerned about the future. That's why the Bible says when you are praying, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. God is able to sustain you daily. But he needs you to understand. That's why he told the Israelites, he said that, take manna enough for the day, and I will send it to you in the morning so that you can concentrate on other things during the day. Learn to see God as your Father. I always say to myself, why did God choose David? There are many theories. There are many, many theories. Today we're going to pray. I'm not just going to talk, but we're going to pray. There are many theories, because he was a psalmist in the desert, because he loved God, because he did. I honestly don't know. When we get to heaven, we'll ask Jesus. And I'm sure then he will tell us. For now, we can only theorize based on what we can read or not. But one thing I know is this. I always say, God, whatever the reason, I don't know. But one thing I know is I've seen what they did afterwards, right? But why did you choose them in the first place? I have no clue. Why was it Joseph, the 11th child, if I'm correct, 11th child of Jacob that you chose to be the deliverer of the entire Israel, to bring them to Egypt? Why was it Joseph that you chose, that you gave a dream to, and you called him a dreamer? Why did you give him that gift? Why did you choose Jacob before he was born? Bible says that before they were born, the younger have I loved, the older have I hated. Before they did anything, I said, God, why? God, why? You see, God, I'm not questioning you. That's why the Bible says, you want us to read that verse so you can know where it is. So, because some people don't know where it is. That should be in Romans. Romans chapter 9, I think. It's good to see this thing. I hope you're following me. I know I'm a little bit scattered, but not really, because I just want to gist today. I'm not preaching at you. I want us to commune, to talk together. Romans 9, verse 11. It said, for the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, verse 12, the elder shall serve the younger. Verse 13, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, what gives me great confidence to approach my God is because he said before they were born, he chose them. They hadn't done anything, but because he wants it to be according to his own purpose of him that calls. And then I thought about it. Why did God send Elijah to the widow of Zarephath? You know, the widow that had only a morsel of bread. See, these are the thoughts that I talk about with God personally. Yeah. So I'm just giving you some insights into the way I think. Why did you send Elijah to meet the widow of Zarephath, who had just a morsel of bread, a bit of flour, and she wanted to eat it with her son and then die? Why? And you know the funny thing? I read the book, the New Testament, and I saw Jesus saying to the Jews that there were many widows in Israel. Then God sent somebody, and he didn't give an answer. Jesus didn't give an answer. I said, but you know there were many widows in Israel when God sent, and they wanted to kill him. They wanted to stone him. Ah, carry him and kill. And I asked God, but though, you know, it's good. Why? The truth is, if you are looking for an answer, you are looking at the wrong person. Because I don't have a clue. I still don't have a clue. And I'm sure I won't have a clue. Because the Bible says that the things that are revealed for us, the things that are hidden for him, that's what makes this journey interesting. Questions and answer. Every day you begin to ask God, otherwise you won't have anything. If you are God, you don't need God, do you? If you know all, do you need him? Makes it interesting. But I said to myself, God, even if I don't have an answer, I'm smart enough to know that means you just choose. You just choose people. You chose David, whatever reason, I don't know. You chose Saul to be the first king of Israel, whatever reason, I don't know. Some people say because he was higher than everybody, taller, shoulder, I don't know. You chose Joseph for whatever reason, we don't know. You chose everybody you chose. So, Lord, choose me. However, if they're talking about somebody to be the successful man around, choose me. Now, I'm going to learn some things because I learned from their life that they were faithful to you. In their prosperity, they still served you. In their prosperity, they were still humble. In their prosperity, they still remembered God. They were not haughty of heart. They did not carry themselves and raise up idols. And those that did, like Solomon, who you choose for whatever reason, he was like the child born of a bastard out of an affair, and yet God said, all your legitimate children, I don't want them as king. I want Solomon. So David anointed his son, Solomon, as king. But I thought, why? It doesn't make sense. But you are a known make sense God anyway. So if you don't make sense, I don't make sense. So choose me. Leave everybody else out of this matter and choose me. Don't compare me with somebody else. Lord, just do my own. Make my life. Make me succeed. If there's no job, create job in my house. If possible, if I sell water, let it prosper. I do not care what they say. You are my daddy. Choose me. If they say, however you want to do it to get me to that place, do it. Choose me. Put a new legislation out for me. Put a new thing out for me. Give me a new idea. Just me. I'm in the congregation of 1,000 and millions. Lord, let me not be drawn down by them. Choose me. Before they did good or evil, you chose them. Choose me. My heart's cry. That's what I'm telling you. Choose me. I don't know. I'm not the best of people. I don't know too much. I don't have too much. I don't have a great background. But Lord, just choose me. I'm not saying I have enough qualification. I may do. I may not do. But Lord, choose me. Every day, forgive me, my eyes are clouding because that's the truth. It's my heart's cry. God, just choose me. Anything you want to do for good, choose me. I don't have time for those bad news. Lord, I'm not saying you can't bring them. Even when you bring them, the Bible says I will go through the fire. It will not touch me. He said you will give men's life ransom for me. Choose me. That is why I don't care what people say. It's impossible for me to fail. It's impossible for me to be down. There might be a collapse in the economy. It concerns me not. I'm not being selfish, but I'm saying, God, choose me. You are my father. Said, if you that are wicked know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? God. We have put God on the level of the bad people. God is not a bad God. It is our understanding that makes things flow our way. God choose me. Do me good. In the land of the living, as long as I live, do me good. I don't need to be compared to Job. Job has done his own and has gone. Why can't we pick good people in the Bible? Say, God, you bless Solomon. Solomon didn't do anything. He woke up and he got on the throne. And then all he did was ask God for wisdom. And God said, with that wisdom, I'll give you other things. Why? Lord, I don't know what you did, why you did it. But Lord, choose me. People might be getting redundant from jobs. Lord, even if I do, I know it's not going to be for long. Even if there's no job that I need to apply for, you will make something for my sake. You will create something. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, said it will make waters in the wilderness, streams in the desert. You told Isaac, everybody was going to Egypt, said don't go anywhere. So remain in Gerar. That is what I want for you. Stay in Gerar. Bible says Isaac heard. Didn't know what to do, but he heard. And he stayed there. And the Bible says in the selfsame year, he sowed and he had a 100-fold return. You need to ignore me, because this is me and God. You need to ignore me. Just listen to what I'm saying. Why are you cast down in your heart? Why are you worried about your future? Why are you worried? If you have a God that is your father, you don't need to worry. Because the same thing you are able to do for your children, just think about it. What you are able to do for your children, God is able to do much more for you. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I know that many people have used that scripture for salvation. I beg to differ. It goes beyond that. Every other part in the Bible, from the beginning of the Genesis, you say, love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all, and then it will be well with thee. But in the New Testament of which we are living in, God said, you see, I am tired of waiting for these people to love me. Their heart is hard. They will not love me. Let me demonstrate love. And he sent Jesus. Bible says, for God so loved. The word so is given the importance, the heaviness, the depth of that love. For God so loved the world that he gave it. Whoever believes in him will not perish. Why would you think that God will give you a house so you can lose it? Why? Why? The reason why it's hurting me so much because, you know, we've changed the image of our God to some tyrant, some military police who's there to only beat you when you go wrong. He's your father. Jesus understood that. He never worried. That's why he said, our father. God is my best daddy. I personally grew up not really knowing my father, you see. I knew my father, but I never lived with him. I knew my father after a few years because my mother said my father was this, so many things with my background. So I never really lived with my father, never. So I grew up a man on my own. I've seen a lot of people, you see. I've seen how people treat wives in Nigeria, wife people treat you. But I never really had a father. I still don't. I know my father, but I'm saying the things that you can benefit from a father. I never did. But I know one thing. That is why God is my only father. That's why I don't care what people say. I use example and look for calamity. I don't. Because I can't give calamity to my son. So I use my natural mind to say, God will not do that to me. That's why I say, God, if you need to teach me how to be humble, you don't need to take everything. Just need to call me and say, my son, sit down. You are proud. They don't talk like that. They don't do this. I'm not deaf. God, that's why I pray, God, open my ears to hear. Why would I want to wait till I lose everything and then learn how to be humble and then God brings it back? Why? Is that how we see God? Not yet, it does not necessarily mean no. I tell my son, not now. Doesn't mean I won't give him. Why? And as I close, Romans, and I just want to close. Romans chapter 8, just go a chapter back. 28, said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. That's why I said you need to pray, God, choose me. Because if you are called according to his purpose, all things will work together for your good. And let's now jump. Verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him for us all, how shall he not freely with him give us all things? John 3:64, God so loved you. Love you that he's now freely giving you all things. That is why he says, for verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Our Father, whatever evil has come to you, shake your body. I know that as long as God is your, as long as you allow him, he will not break rank. He will not be who you don't want him to be. As long as you say, our Father, my Father, my Father, he will say, I'm listening. That is why they call him Abba Father. Abba Father. You need to begin to know the fatherhood of God one more time. We're going to rise up and pray. Two prayers. Because I want us to, and let me say this to you, I am laying this foundation for the conference coming. The conference will not be like any other conference that you knew. This is a conference where I believe that God wants to speak to his children one-on-one. Bring your matter to him. Come and learn strategies from him. That is how I have become who I am today. I sit with God and he speaks to me. In a meeting, he speaks to me. In a congregation, he speaks to me. I don't care what he speaks to others. He speaks to me. That is what this conference is about. I don't want you to come to this conference not expecting that God will speak to you. Come and say, God, this is me and you. This matter now, we need to discuss. And God will begin to give you strategies, divine direction for you. It will be like an instruction from Isaac that says what? Like from God to Isaac that says, do not go down to Egypt. Stay, and I can assure you, as long as you listen to God, you partake of the table, your life will never be the same again.
Amen.
All I am doing is laying the foundation for that which is going to happen. Because this is August, the 8th month. We still have 5 more months to do what God has said concerning our life, which is supernatural exploit. Bible says, they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. If you know your God as your Father, I can assure you, you will be strong and you will do exploits. You're going to now begin to open your mouth and say, God. Bible says that he makes all things to work together for good. To them that love him and are the called according to his purpose. Begin to pray, God, choose me. I don't care about other people. I don't care about other people's story. I don't care about other people's woes. I don't care about other people's triumphs. Just choose me. Just choose me. In the midst of it, I know I'm not the best of people. Yet, Bible says that in our unfaithfulness, you are still faithful. Lord, choose me. Lord, choose me. Choose me and only me. Choose me, oh God.